The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they're fun, and every one of us can use a little bit more fun. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. We probably won't. But we can, if we choose to, be doers and not just hearers. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? And also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. So if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want you to let it die of loneliness. Maybe you have a prayer request, a praise report. Maybe you want to share something the Lord's doing in your life. Maybe you want to answer Bible trivia, which we'll get to a little later on. All you got to do is call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone, and that is terrific. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. It's real simple. If you want to reach out to us, you have three different ways to do it. You can also jump on top of your roof and scream as loud as you can, David! But we won't hear you because we're in the studio inside a building. But you can try. Here's also the thing we want you to check out. We want you to check out our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Noki doki artichoke, our favorite theological term. We're going to be jumping into 1 Thessalonians in just a second, but I want to open up with a word of prayer for the audience, for the people out there, as I am aware that the anxiety levels of certain people and the fear levels of certain people have increased, not just from the news that's going all around, but for things that are taking place within life and how family members are doing. And sometimes we really need to examine why we're letting so much of that fear into our hearts. We're actually going to talk about that in the entire segment in the second or the last 60 minutes. But first, let's just open with a word of prayer for everybody in the audience. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we come and we humble ourselves and we ask for your help. There are situations, there are relationships, there are health issues. There are financial issues. There are emotional instability issues. And we are asking you that you would bring your hand of grace, your hand of mercy, your hand of courage and pour it into us. Pour your courage into our hearts so that we are not afraid. Fear really eliminates so many things, Lord. But faith in you opens up so many doors. Help us to walk in a strong faith. We need your hand of grace. We need your hand of mercy. We need your life as close to ours as we can get. And we turn our faces to you because you are always there. And we need to turn towards you to get our relief. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Anoint our minds to think. Anoint us to understand. And anoint us to stand in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Don't know why I opened up with that, but that's what it was. So we go from there, right? We do it. It's how we roll. It's how we roll. I can't really do that with any kind of rhythm or anything, but it's how we roll. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go with verse 17 as the starting point. And it says this, "But as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you for a short time, in person, not in heart, we greatly desired to see you and made every effort to return and see you face to face." There's two things I want to say about this portion. It's verse 17, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, "For us, we were forced to leave for a short time." The first thing he says is, "In person and not in heart." And the reason that we bring that up is so that you can understand that there are relationships, especially in lieu of the things that have taken place within the country, the COVID scenario, different elements, where people are at a greater distance than we would prefer, than we would enjoy. But do not faint or lose heart, because your connection with them in heart matters. People are like, "Well, that's not the same thing." Well, it is a big deal, though, in the mind of God, in the minds of ourselves, in our own lives, that we keep people near and dear to us in our hearts. You may not be able to touch everybody that you want to or have that close connection, but that does not mean they have to be so distant as for you not to think of them. Paul even says this. "Hey, we had to leave for a short time in person, but not in heart." And then he says this, and I really like this part, especially when we go into the next segment. "We greatly desired and made every effort to return and to see you face to face." That's something you don't hear a lot of teaching about. Make every effort. Give it your all. It's not that as Christians, we come across something, we pray, we forget about it, and we just, there's no existence to it. We enter into it as much as the Lord would have us. We give our best efforts per se. We do our best. We pray that it's blessed. Then we just let the Lord take care of the rest. And what Paul is talking about is, we made every effort. I mean, we tried. And, you know, I understand, because I, too, am a Star Wars fan. There is no try. Just do. Yeah, I got it. Except for sometimes you can only try, right? Sometimes you can just do the best that you can do and lay that down. One of the things that Noel and I say to each other is doing our best. Doing our best. And why we think that's important is not because we're a works-oriented gospel people. Because we're not. We're a grace-oriented gospel people. But what we want to know, or what we want to affirm one another in, is, hey, we're putting something into this. We're putting our hearts into it. We're giving ourselves into it the best that we can, as best as we understand that the Lord allows, directs, and guides. And at that point, we go, all yours. The only difference is that some people, they don't want to do any work, and that's kind of a ultra-negative. And then the other people, they want to do everything and give no room to God. And that's an ultra negative. Do you understand that this is a walking hand in hand with God? God is not just ahead of you and just behind you. He's by your side. There's a great song by an old band. Daniel Amos was an old band in the 70s and 80s, Christian band, and they wrote this song called Shotgun Angel. And the whole premise was that the trucker who was driving on the road, but then the Lord was with him in the next seat. And that's, I think, something that we lose. I know there's another popular song after that, you know, Jesus Take the Wheel, that kind of approach. What I'm trying to say is that the Lord is with us. It's not in theory. It's his promise. He's as much with you as your salvation is real. He's as much with you as the resurrection is true. And if he's not with you, that it kind of depletes the whole process. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It wasn't the end of that century, it was the end of the age, of the eon, of the system, of the time of man. And that's what we can rely on. That's what we can hope on. So Paul, in talking to these people, and you can tell again in almost all of Paul's letters, if you get into them, people will say something about Paul's personality. He's mean. He's a jerk. He doesn't like women. Blah, 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 blah. If you ever read this stuff, you find out just how passionate and just how nice and just what a great guy he really is. He's like, look, we were separated from you brothers and sisters for a while. We had to leave. We never let you go in our hearts. And we just made every effort we could. We gave everything we into it to see you face to face. And that's what he wanted them to know. That was important for Paul to communicate to them, for them to know. Let everything you have into the situation. Don't withhold. And that has to do with kingdom pursuits. Don't pursue the kingdom at 30%. Don't pursue the kingdom at 60%. Pursue the kingdom with 100%. Because there is nothing on this earth that you will take with you except that which you lay up for treasures in heaven. Give it your all. Be so heavenly minded you're of no earthly good. I give you permission. As God gave you permission, so I'm not giving you any permission. Be that kind of person that pursues the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And then everything else will come along. Okay? All right. Take our break here. When we come back, I'm going to blow your mind. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here goes the first trivia question. Who fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai? There you go. Who fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Either way will work. Do you want to do some DNA? You want to do that real quickly? Let's do some DNA. We want you to remember this because we know there's more news coming, and we just don't want you to go blah, 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 blah. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Daily. Daily. Daily. I cannot say that enough. Daily. 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 Okay? Not Jim Daly, the golfer. Daily. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what the world says. No, oh, that's not what Jesus said. If God created the universe, he can write a book, so be quiet and sit down. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means you're willing to be a vessel for the kingdom of God, to honor God, and also to be a vessel to bless people and to be an indicator. Now, sometimes that blessing can come in the form of challenging, and sometimes it can come in the form of just encouraging. I don't know. Whatever the Lord's going to do. You just draw closer to the Lord daily. That's the D. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N. And then A, always be ready to serve. That's your DNA. Okay? Okay. Okay. Here we go one last time. What did, let's see, who fasted on 40 days on Mount Sinai? If you know the answer, you can call in or you can text in. But this next portion I'm going to be teaching is superbly difficult for some of us to hear, myself included. Okay? So I want you to be aware that whatever I'm teaching, I'm hopefully encouraging all of us in, is the kind of the goal here. If you do have an answer to the trivia, you can call in 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. 40 days on Mount Sinai. That's a long fast. Actually, I know two people that have done 40-day fasts, just to let you know.
Oh, people can't do that.
Yes, they can. All right, here we go. I want to get into this text because it's deep and profound. I'm going to back it up to verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians 2, then go forward and you'll see why. 17, what we just talked about. But as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you for a short time in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return to see you face to face. So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But Satan hindered us. Everybody, if you need to go verify that that's in the script, go grab 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 18, look at the last part of the verse, okay? Straightforward, right? But, which means on the other hand, Satan hindered us. The word in the Greek is engapto, engapto, not engapto, engapto. Yeah, I'm close. Encapto, it means to cut into, to impede, to interrupt, and to hinder. And it's amazing when you read this text and you find out that Paul knew he was spiritually moving on. I mean, Paul knew he wasn't a rookie in the kingdom when he's writing this letter, this epistle to the first the church at Thessalonica. He knows he's in there. But look what he says. Even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. This is the same Paul that said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he had a petition that he made from the Lord three times, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and the Lord said he wasn't going to get rid of it. Now, there's a lot of commentators that say it was a problem he had with his eye, a problem he had with his language. I don't know about any of that stuff. I know what it says. There was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and three times Paul was asking, can you take it away? Can you take it away? Can you take it away? And the sovereign God said, nope. Because my grace is made sufficient in weakness. Now, we're going to take this call. We're going to have this person answer the trivia question. I'm going to come back and explain to you what the deal is. Why would Paul say, but Satan hindered us, There is a reason. We'll get to that in just a second as we go to the person. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, it's Samson. How are you?
Oh, how you doing, brother?
Very good.
All right. And are you? Is the family doing good? Is the wife doing a little better? The family doing a little better?
Yes, sir.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's a blessing to hear. And we will keep praying for you. We won't stop praying for you, okay?
Yes.
All right.
Well, keep praying for my extended family because we are still trying to help them. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Are they in danger or are they more safe or is it kind of up and down?
No, because as the rainy season is coming and they need a roof repair and some other thing. So, yeah, it's just a little financial concern, and we don't want that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the roof will
absolutely
fall on them. So.
Absolutely. All right, that's a good thing to pray for. So everybody who's in the audience, you can mention Samson has got his brother, his extended family. They need a roof. That's a good thing to pray for. All right, my brother, who fasted 40 days?
The trivia answer is Moshe or Moses.
That is correct, sir! Moshe! Moshe, Moshe, Moshe. And we're not talking about the Chinese pork that's at a restaurant. Moses, that's an excellent job. Good job, my brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for encouraging the body of Christ. And teaching them. I deeply appreciate your ministry.
That's a blessing to hear, and I appreciate you saying that to me.
All right, brother. Take care and keep teaching.
You got it. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Be praying for Samson's family. You can do that. Everybody can spend that 20 big seconds. 20 big seconds. Yeah. And ask God, hey, please just help their family out. A roof, that's good. Most of you have roofs, probably don't have too many problems. If you're aware of that, then maybe praying that for somebody else is a good idea. Okay, good job on the answer, by the way, on trivia for him as well. Very good. Appreciate that, brother. Here we go. So I want to go back to this. So Paul is saying, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time again, but Satan hindered us. You're thinking, oh, no, that can't be. That can't be. Okay. Here is a story from Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. Another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night as the workers slept, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farm workers went to him and said, "Sir, the fields where you planted that good seed's full of weeds. Where'd they come from?" Verse 28. An enemy has done this. I just want you to stop and take a second here. Jesus is teaching stories about the kingdom of God. He's using parables to teach them stories. He tells them this story about the farmer planting good seed and then bad seed. Good stuff and bad stuff. Good growth and bad growth. Good people and bad people. And so the people went to Jesus, and this is in the story. It's like, well, they went to the farmer guy, and they said, "What happened? It's full of weeds." And then the farmer goes, "An enemy did this. I got a message for you. You're a Christian, a Bible-believing born-again Christian, you have an enemy. He doesn't like you. He hindered the Apostle Paul." I've heard people say, "Apostle Paul never had a single problem." Really? Because here, Satan is hindering him. And there are times in your life, there are situations where you've just chalked it up to whatever the case may be, but it's the enemy who's interrupting and hindering. And the answer is to what? Go to the Lord who's greater than the enemy. Submit yourself fully unto the Lord. Resist the enemy and ask God to kick him out. Deliver us from evil. When the other translations say, deliver us from the evil one. Pick. It doesn't matter. What matters is the petition is for God to deliver. And we need God to deliver us from Satan and from his activity. And if you don't think Satan's active in your life, or you don't think he's fighting against you, that just shows you how good he is at hiding and functioning like a thief, which, by the way, the word in thief in the Greek means one who operates in stealth. Get that? You could be having certain situations. You're like, why is this happening? What is going on? What's taking place? Sometimes the Lord is trying to teach you. Sometimes you're doing something kind of goofy. And sometimes Satan is trying to just put a kibosh on anything you can progress in. I can tell you story after story after story about Jesus delivering me from Satan's hand. When the enemy comes at me, you ever had one of those dreams or, you know, you have all those? I've had these dreams. When I first became a Christian, too, where all these Jeeps were driving by me and there were all these demons in there. And I'm sitting there and in my dream, I'm trying to speak and I can't speak and I can't speak. And finally, at the end of the dream, I go, Jesus! And they all disappear into dust. Isn't that cool? Jesus is your answer to overcome the enemy. You put on the armor of God, but my friends, do not be misled. The enemy is active against the people of God, if it be nothing else than simply to distract. If it be nothing else than to simply get them to do nothing. There is no nothing in the kingdom of God. You're either moving forward or you're not advancing the kingdom. It's like, well, that doesn't seem fair. The scripture says in Zephaniah, often not quoted, that the Lord searches in Israel to see whose hearts are complacent because he brings his judgment on those who are. We're in a war, and Satan is against you. And some of these things have to do with the enemy. Ask God to deliver you from the situation. Even Paul, in his writings, recognized, hey, this is spiritual warfare, and it ain't cool. Right? Be that way. Petition the Lord. Find that freedom. Okay? All right, we're going to take our break and come back. So much for this next hour coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never, nor will ever, prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.